Proverbs, again, chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. And we will jump back into our study through the book of Proverbs. And looking right now specifically at some of the characters in the book of Proverbs. And specifically, we have been looking at the fool. And there are at least three Hebrew words that reference the fool, that are translated the fool. And we are looking in general at the fool right now, some of the characteristics of the fool, and then we'll get to some very specific ones. But one of the characters that is foolish is the simple one. And I'm going to have to fly through the slides here real quick, and I've got to turn on the clicker. There we go. So we talked about some general characteristics of the fool, and all the words for a fool are going to reference stubbornness and moral stupidity, and that's the emphasis there is on the moral silliness or the moral stupidity. And there is a aspect to being simple that sometimes we think of a person just not having any common sense or being gullible, and some of those things do play into the aspect of a fool's character, but it really comes down to the moral choices, and there's a moral stubbornness, there's a silliness or a stupidity that has to do with their morality. So the most common word for a fool has to do with the person's outlook. And again, not so much his intellect or mental capabilities. And then you have verses that reference the flippancy, the impatience of a fool. And then there's this rudeness of that person's life. And then we went through and we talked about, just briefly, taking this slide and summarizing all seven of the characteristics. Now, not every fool is going to have all seven of these in their worst forms. But every fool is going to have some measure of these characteristics, and some are going to be more foolish in certain ways than in other ways. I think we've all met people who are very stubborn in their foolishness. I think we've all met people, and sometimes we're the ones who are guilty of being impatient in our foolishness and not thinking of others and not waiting for our turn, so to speak. And it's about us. And really, that's one of the things that's characteristic of the fool, is very selfish and very self-centered. The flippancy we've talked about, the boorishness, which is the rudeness. And we see that type of foolishness very predominantly in our culture today. The rudeness. And I was talking to someone even yesterday. I mentioned last week about the stall door in the bathroom that kept getting broken. I found out yesterday it is still getting broken. And there is a fool who is continuing to break that stall door in that same bathroom. And then that TikTok, whatever you call it, challenge or whatever it's called, that devious licks where they're vandalizing restrooms. It's just unbelievable, the rudeness and the delight that people take in it, in being rude and being destructive. And it is foolishness. God calls that kind of activity foolish. And someone who is stubborn and boorish in that kind of activity, that's the pattern of their life, they are a fool. That is a characteristic that, sadly today, it is celebrated in some cases in our culture. Insolence, fretting, the storming, the raging. And we talked about fretting, how ultimately it becomes a way of life. And there's this constant fretting against the Lord. They're just constantly challenging God and His Word and His standards. And God is constantly having to deal with them. And we've been around people like that. I've given illustrations, I think, already. I had a roommate in college that was like this. Eventually got kicked out. And he was just constantly in trouble. And he began to complain to me about, oh, the university was out to get him. And I as best I could, I tried to tell him, if you would quit doing all these things to break the rules, if you would quit acting the way you are, they would leave you alone. They would get off your back if you would just obey the rules. It's not that hard. It's just not that difficult. But they're after you, so to speak, after you, because you won't obey the rules. And eventually it cost him. He had to, he got kicked out. Anyway, there was a fretting there, and he was engaging in foolish activity. And then the arrogance of a fool. And that's where it really rises to a level where God, eventually his mercy runs out. Eventually God says enough is enough. It's that arrogance. It's that brash, I am going to continue to live out my foolish behavior and I don't care anymore what God says, or I'm just going to do my thing. And that's when it gets to a point where God says, he says enough is enough, and he's going to deal with a fool in judgment. So those are the characteristics. And then we started talking about this character, the simple. The simple is a type of fool, and sometimes a word in the Hebrew language will be translated simple, that is going to reference foolish type of behavior. But there are three Hebrew words for fool that are typically translated fool in the book of Proverbs, but they're not always going to reference the simple. So the simple, if I can say it this way, the simple is going to be that person who is easily pulled into folly. But they're at a point where they can still be turned to righteousness. They are still, if the right people and with God's help, if they'll respond the right way, they will turn for righteousness instead of toward foolishness. But they are easily swayed. I talked about students that I've dealt with who, they weren't the ones who would instigate the rebellious behavior, but they were right there somewhere nearby, almost as if they were applauding or celebrating the behavior of their rebellious friend. And I would deal with those students and I would say, you are not doing this particular rebellious activity. You have refused to go that far, but you are right there. You're enjoying it. You're participating in an indirect way. It's almost as if you are over there cheering them on. And there was one young man, I looked right at him in my office and I said, isn't that the case? And he kind of dropped his head and he said, yeah. I said, so stop. Stand up and do what's right. Say something. Back off. Quit. Don't engage yourself in that. You're not willing to go that far as this other guy, but you're indirectly still involved. Your behavior is simple. You're a simple person. You're swayed by the foolish. You're swayed by the evil. Make a right choice. So easily led, gullible, silly. They morally are irresponsible. And there's, even in being swayed by the fool, there's still a willfulness. They still make a choice. Because one of the things that these young men would sometimes say to me, they would almost act like they didn't have a choice. You know, you got the hardened kind of rebellious leader who is instigating the behavior, and then you've got the simple who's less directly involved, and they'll make excuses. Well, I just happened to be there and I didn't know what to do. Well, he talked me into it. And I remember a man, I forget his name, but there was, years ago, there was a testimony of a man who got saved, and he produced a book and a video, and the title of his book and his video were Twice Pardoned. I don't remember his name. I don't know if anybody saw those, the book and the video. But he talked about how, as a young man, he made the choice to get involved with a group of guys in high school. He was around 17, 18 years of age, and they decided they were going to rob a grocery store. But all he was going to do was be the driver of the getaway car. So he agreed. They had come up with this plan. I forget how many of them were there. I think there were four. And he's giving his testimony, and he talks about how he was the one who wouldn't go in the store and try to steal anything. He wasn't the one who was going to be the instigator. He was going to just drive the getaway car. And they said, all we're going to do is we're just going to take a few items, and we're going to get out of there, and we're going to hop in the car, and you just drive us to the safe place. Well, he's out there in the getaway car, and they come bolting out, and their shoplifting went bad. And somebody had a gun with them, and they shot one of the cashiers at the register. And he didn't know that at the time. He just saw they were bolting out, and he had his job to do, and he drove off, and they're yelling and screaming in the car, and he's trying to get away, and they reveal the fact that they shot somebody. And if I remember right, there were four of them, and the other three got away. He was the only one at that time who got caught. And they threw the book at him. The lawyers, the judges, they threw the book at the guy. And he talked about how they had a hard time finding the other guys. I think eventually all of them got caught, but he was the first one, and they just nailed him because it took him a long time to catch up with the others. And he talked about how they made an example of him, and he ended up in prison, and he got saved in prison. God gloriously saved him. And then eventually, after all those years of investigation and trials, they eventually got the other guys who had been in the store, and they prosecuted them. And he was given a pardon by the governor of whatever state he lived in. And he used that as a testimony. He said, twice pardoned. Pardoned first of all by God, and then pardoned by the governor. And he had a powerful testimony, and he talked about basically being a simple person. He would not go out in the forefront and be the hardened rebel and lead the crowd into the sin and the foolishness, but he was the simple guy who sat in the getaway car, and because he was around fools. In Proverbs 1, in verse, I believe it's verse number 10, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He was that simple man who was enticed, and he consented, and he paid for it for years. And God gave him a pardon, he got saved, and he was released from prison, and he was able to go on and live a normal life. And he had this testimony. He would go around, he would share his testimony, powerful testimony. But he talked to the young people, and I remember that video as a kid watching that and thinking, wow, one simple choice that was foolish, and it cost him years of his life, and what a mess he was in. Proverbs 19 and verse 25 talks about what it takes sometimes for the simple to realize the way they're headed, the way they are easily swayed to do what is wrong. Proverbs 19 in verse 25 says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. What does it take sometimes for a simple person to finally respond to God's teaching, to God's rebuke? It takes a literal example of a scorner being struck with God's judgment. Sometimes that is the only lesson for a simple one that they will listen, that they will follow, that will wake them up, that will shake them up, is when the scorner is judged. When that scorner is struck, it says there in Proverbs 19 and verse 25. So, in leadership, sometimes there has to be a discipline of the leader knowing that that leader is going to influence other people. And so, whether it be in parenting or whether it be in places of education and teaching, and whether it be coaching or whatever it is, I think in leadership we understand sometimes when you catch the one who is leading the rebellious group, and they are given the consequences that they need, that they deserve, you're using it as a teaching tool for the others. Sometimes as parents, we're doing that. We have to deal with an older child, and sometimes the older child gets upset because it seems like the younger child gets away with everything. And then we'll say something like this as a parent, but you are the older child, and you are an example, and you are influencing your younger siblings. And that's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow. Okay? But it's necessary sometimes. And I remember when my sister smarted off to my mom one time. And my dad lowered the boom. And it was a nuclear boom. Okay? And do you think it taught me? Do you think that I saw that and I said, I don't think I want to do that to my father. Because the nuclear explosion for me is probably going to be worse because she's a girl and I'm a young man and my dad will take care of business. Okay? So there was a way in which that discipline taught me. And I still had my issues that I had to be dealt with personally. But in leadership and in parenting, sometimes we realize there is a simple one. And we know that we have dealt with this scorner and they continue to mock, they continue to scorn, they continue in their rebellion. And we finally say, okay, you are going to have to suffer this consequence. There's this discipline that's going to be put in place, knowing that there's other people who are watching. And we hope to save the simple by striking the scorner. Proverbs 14 and verse 18 speaks to the fact the simple will easily acquire folly. They get caught up in the foolishness. We've spent some time on that. If we had time to read all of Proverbs 7, you'll see in Proverbs 7 that one of the ways that a simple person is led astray is in the area of morality. Our culture teaches expression and freedom and unrestrained license to commit all types of moral sins. And our culture puts stamp of approval on that. I was just reading about a certain sitcom that remains popular in its rerun stage to this day that portrayed a certain type of immorality as acceptable, as normal, as consequence-free, as part of just being a young adult, as part of just living your life, and there's absolutely no harm in doing it. And what is that television sitcom doing? It is portraying to the simple, to the foolish, to those who are easily acquiring folly, that it's okay to live immorally. It won't affect you. There's no consequences for that behavior. It's just part of the normal human life and existence. And you read Proverbs 7, and if we really listen to what God is saying in Proverbs 7, the simple are fools when they're led into immorality. It's an area that our world is taking the simple and turning them into fools. I know this isn't popular preaching, I get that. But this is so part of our society now that if we don't warn our children, if we don't wake up and realize some of the messages that are being sent in so many from so many different angles, we've got to be aware. Satan wants our children. He wants their purity to be taken away. And I read Proverbs 7, and I had to do a research paper in, I think it was my junior year. And our teacher had us go into the book of Proverbs, and he had us do a research paper on morality taught in the book of Proverbs. And it was an incredible lesson. It was a really valuable research paper. Because it took us in, and he used Proverbs 7 as one of the chief chapters, one of the primary chapters to deal with this particular topic. this simple man is just walking along, just going through life, and the strange woman calls. And she turns him from a simple man into a fool. And it's a grave warning. And then, we don't have time to go through Proverbs 1, 22 through 33 and read all the verses, but go to Proverbs 1 in verse 33. And we see, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me," that is, to the voice of wisdom, "whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell," how? "Safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Why does God have these principles? Why does God have these warnings? Why does God put these in the Word of God? Because He wants us to dwell safely. He wants us to escape the evil. He wants us to be quiet from fear of evil. He doesn't want us to live our life fretting because of all of the consequences of our choices. I have a very dear friend who just recently lost his father. We were down at the visitation. And he would know, and he would not be upset with me for sharing some of this, because he's told me straight up. He said, "I made a choice. I came out of high school and I lived for myself and I made a choice and it resulted in a child. And I'm still dealing with it to this day. I'm still going to judges. I'm still going to courtrooms. My ex is still fighting me tooth and nail. She hates God. She hates the Bible. She hates everything that I am. God saved me and God took away my sin, and he forgave me." And we have had heart-to-heart talks many a time. He has wept tears. And I wish, and I know if he could, he would go back and he would change certain choices that he made. And this man loves the Lord with all his heart. But he realizes for a short period of time in his life, he made some foolish choices, and he's still living with the consequences of that. And I have warned young people over and over and over and over. Wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is there in the open squares crying out. Listen, God wants us to be quiet from fear of evil. He wants us to dwell safely. But we read earlier in those verses that those who don't hearken to the voice of wisdom, to the wisdom of the Word of God, they can be turned to evil. And then the consequences of those choices can follow them for the rest of their lives. It's scary. So that's the simple. And then we'll just have a few minutes to begin talking about this, what is translated fool in the book of Proverbs. The simple is a type of fool and can be, again, swayed. Okay, but a specific word that is translated fool, there's a word for fool in the book of Proverbs that is this word kesile. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I don't know exactly what the Hebrew, what it would sound like in Hebrew. But it looks like our K-E-S-I-L-E. And so we've often referred to him as the kesile fool. Proverbs 26 and verse 11 describes a dominating characteristic. And we looked at this a little bit last week. "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." A kesile fool is a fool that continues to return to that same pattern of puking and eating the puke. Sinning and going right back to it. Sinning and going right back to it. Heaping that sin. And what does sin do when we don't confess it and forsake it? What does sin do? It calluses the heart. Have you ever had calluses? I've shaken the hands of some of you men. And I can tell you've worked on mechanics and parts. And I can tell some of you men, you got some strong hands. And you have some calloused hands. Because you've done a lot of work with metal and parts and stuff. Okay. And have you ever shaken somebody's hand like that, and you can tell, okay? And you've had maybe a callus on a finger on your hand or on your feet. You ever worn shoes that were, maybe just a little bit too small, and rubs and rubs and rubs, and you get a blister and you get a callus. Well, sin does that. When we don't confess it and forsake it, it calluses our heart. And a fool, a quesile fool, continues to go back to that same sin, knows the consequences, keeps going back to it, like a dog to his vomit. Proverbs 17 and verse 24 speaks to the quesile fool. Proverbs 17 and verse 24, this characteristic, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Interesting poetic way in which Solomon describes the quesile fool here. His eyes are in the ends of the earth. He's never satisfied. He sins, maybe he gets caught, maybe he doesn't. The consequences or not, he's going to find something else to do. This fool, this quesile fool, is a mischievous person in an evil way. Ever been around people like that? You know people like that? I think that the police probably know people like that. They have a record that's a mile long. Okay? I'm reading a book right now written by a policeman, and he said that there's a certain bar in town that was just a trouble spot. And you just have a lot of times the same people who frequent that bar, and it's the same. Haul them off to jail, they're back, and a few weeks later, right there in the middle of the, okay? And it's just, that's the quesile fool. Their eyes are always looking for something else mischievous to do. They get caught, maybe, maybe not, but they get caught, and they put it away for a while, and then they come right back to it, or they find something else. And we've been around people, or we know kids or people like that, and they're just always, it seems like, looking for trouble. Their eyes are on the ends of the earth, looking for something else to do. You've been around kids who you can't turn away for a second because I've done enough teaching, and maybe you've done some teaching, and there's a kid or two in the classroom, and you know you can't trust them. And then they say things like, "You don't trust me." Well, yeah. What have you done for me to trust you? Tell me, show me what you... You just never, you're just picking on me. Again, it's that if you would show a pattern of behavior that tells me that you are responsible and trustworthy, then I'll leave you alone. I'll trust you. And then sometimes they do. Sometimes they surprise us. We can't just label them and, you know, and always blame them. I've done that. I've made the mistake of picking on the wrong kid. Oh, it had to be that kid. And turns out it wasn't. Okay, but this is the quesile fool. They have that long rap sheet. They are just looking for evil, it seems like, everywhere they go, just in a mischievous kind of way. They have no reverence for the truth. Proverbs 14 and verse number 8, the quesile fool. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. It is a folly to them. It is something that they just truth. Reverence for rules. They see a rule, they see a policy, and it's got that sign on it, you know, that door that says do not enter. And what's the quesile fool read when they see that sign? Do not enter. I'm going through that door. And I think some of that's just human nature, right? Okay, but that's the quesile fool. That's the quesile fool who even knows what's on the other side of that door. They know that it's wrong, but they take delight in sin. This is the danger of a quesile fool. They have now begun to take delight in that which dishonors God. When there is a young person, when there is a person who has now in their mind begun to delight in sin, and there's no regard for the truth, they have become irreverent toward God, there's no fear of God before their eyes, so to speak. That's a dangerous place. And God help us that we never have a child who gets to that point where we begin to see in them a delight in sin, and it hardens in their heart, and they are now wanting to find ways to dive into that sin, to indulge in it. That's it's sad. It's a sobering thought that a person gets to this point where they're a quesile fool, and they delight in that which dishonors the Lord. They reject the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1 and verse 29. They're even referred to in Proverbs 14 and verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Get away from him. As our children grow up and as we make choices in friendships and associations, we have evangelism, we have outreach. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he did not endorse immoral behavior. He did not endorse or approve of unrighteous behavior. But there are some who compromise because, as I've heard a young lady say, I'm going to date this man. I'm going to get involved in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship with this young man because I'm going to win him to the Lord. He's going to get saved because of my witness. I'm witnessing to him as we are involved in a dating romantic relationship. And most of the time, I'd say 9 times out of 10, they don't go well. It doesn't turn out that way. And there's this thought that I can compromise with sin and it's not going to affect me. And the quixotic fool is compromising with sin. They are looking for places that they can try to get away with sin. They can compromise with it. It's not going to affect me. I'm going to be able to do this. It's my life. And then it takes them down this road. And then now they are a menace. Okay? In verse 7 again of Proverbs 14, the fool, the quixotic fool is to be avoided. If we continue to be with them and to practice what they practice and do what they do and allow them to influence us, then we begin to make those same kinds of choices, those wrong choices. And they are a menace to what is good, to what is right. They're a menace to those who are trying to lead in the ways of righteousness. They're quarrelsome, Proverbs 18, in verse number 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Is this not the fool, the quixotic fool on social media? Isn't this the Twitter mob? The quarrelsome? Isn't this kind of the cancel culture? The quixotic fool? They just want righteousness and goodness and the truth of God's word to be shut up and to be shut out. They don't want the pro-life arguments. They don't want the creation arguments. They don't want the moral truths from God's word about morality and ethics. They just want the truth to be shut up, to be shut out. There's this constant contention with what is right. It's as there are some people that are the quixotic fool, where if you said that the sky was blue, they say, no, it's green. It's green. They're just in that constant contention. They will not accept the truth. They just want to argue and fight the truth all the time. And this is, sadly, this is so much of what we find now in our culture. And if you've ever, I do it too much, I'm guilty of it, but do you ever read the comments after an article? I do it too much. But I go down and I read some of the comments, and a lot of times they just make me mad. I just like, ugh. You know, the quixotic fool exposes themselves many times in their comments toward the article. The article can be something that's very truthful, very factual, that has to do with a moral absolute, and then that quixotic fool will make a comment that questions the absolute truth of God's word, that argues with the righteous position. That's the quixotic fool. And we, sadly, we see it in our society. In the internet, again, I'm not opposed to social media. It's got its place. But Twitter, you've heard of the Twitter mob. This is a place where I see the quixotic fool running rampant. And we see it more and more in our culture. We need to avoid these kinds of patterns of behavior. These are good warnings for us. And it helps us in our own choices. It helps us in our parenting. It helps us as grandparents and in places of authority and influence and leadership to be able to recognize certain things and to help lead others away from these kinds of foolish choices and these foolish kinds of characteristics. All right, that's all we have time for tonight, and I appreciate your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's house. We'll continue in this study, but Wednesday night, our midweek service, we'll go back into the parables of Jesus Christ. But this time, let's go ahead and stand. We'll have a closing song. Derek's going to come and lead us, and I believe it is 609. God will take care of you. Is that the right one, or am I on the wrong page? Yes, 609. Yes, 609. God will take care of you.
Dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every
reminder to the deacons, we have a meeting here in maybe about 5 minutes or so, and appreciate your faithfulness once again. If Dan Clark, if you don't mind closing us in a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.
Father, we bend our knees and our hearts to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the body of Christ.
Amen.
The upholding of your word. Help us to see those that are fools and reproach them as you give us the ability to do that. Help us as we raise children. Honoring you in all that we do in our lives. We pray for wisdom for our pastor and deacons, the upcoming plans that we have for our church. I ask all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday.